Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Night Shadows. I'm Stuart Best, where the paranormal is normal, where that which you thought you knew, you didn't. And where the future can be known if you know exactly where to look.
Well, hello, everybody. And tonight we're going to have a special show with co-host Larry Taylor. And we got a lot of things to talk about, a lot of strange stuff going on. And before we begin, I just want to make sure everybody really realizes what Night Shadows is all about. It's about the truth, and only the truth. There are no boundaries. It's wide-ranging because the truth is always stranger than fiction, has been right along, always will be, and the show is designed to make people think. I'm not asking anybody to believe anything that is said here, but I do ask people to dig into this stuff and look for themselves. And not take anybody's word for anything. Do your own research. You'll be amazed at what you'll find. Hey, Larry, how are you doing tonight?
Hello, Stuart. Thanks for having me. I agree totally with you. Yeah.
I don't know. It's amazing to me that people don't, they sound off and they really don't even know what they're sounding off about. You need to do some research on it. Let's start with Earth changes. You called the other day and you were talking, and I had not really heard about it. I think a long time ago I knew she had written several books, and we're talking about Mary Summer Rain, and the book is called Spirit Song. And, it's kind of interesting to me that in Spirit Song, because in Noah's Phoenix Rising, she doesn't really mention a pole shift, but you said in Spirit Song she gets into it quite at length. Can you elaborate on what you found in that? And that was written some time ago, was it not?
Well, sure, Stuart. Be glad to. And, of course, you shared with people, and you call, No Eyes, you say that Antichrist person. However, she appears to be so accurate in the book that I read, and you have a copy of Phoenix Rising. And the other day,
yes.
I couldn't find Phoenix Rising. I was going to look up a little bit of the stuff she had talked about, and, so I ordered it from Amazon. And I guess there was a mix-up because when my order came in, I'd ordered Phoenix Rising, and this book showed up called Spirit Song. And it's not really a big book. It's only about 150-something pages. And it's called, the title is Spirit Song, The Introduction of No Eyes. And I didn't even know the book existed. However, I'm looking here at the front of it. You asked on a date. Shows copyright 1985, and that puts it back a few years,
Yes, it does.
And
yes.
So, when I got that, this is what's interesting. I had that experience, and, I named it, I titled it years ago, many years ago, when I was living around Hugo, Oklahoma. I had what I called the White Buffalo experience, and I shared that with you. I shared it with your listeners back then, years ago, on I believe it was called it Conversations at the time. I shared it with Red Elk, and he made a lot of comments, back to me after that, and we talked about that. And then, it kind of went to the wayside. It was up on a shelf somewhere, and I'd kind of lost contact. I knew about it, but nobody else seemed inclined to really worry about it. And you and I have mentioned it on a number of occasions as time went by. And then the other day, just before I got this book, Unleavened Bread Ministries with David Eels, came out, and he had someone that had a spiritual experience talking about a partial pole shift, and I read that, and, I didn't mention that when we talked the other day, but I'd read that, and then all of a sudden this book showed up, and I'm reading this book, and then I get towards close to the end, you know, I had no idea that there was a partial polar shift occurred in any of Noah's commentaries or Mary Summerrain's books. Wow. And I see one and I think, my, that sounds exactly what I was looking at. And so anyway, when I contacted you, you know, we talked about it. And if you want to make some comments, and then I'll read that section if you want me to. And you can, of course, you know, block in there anywhere you want to and ask questions or comments.
Okay. The only comment I would have before you begin is folks ought to get out their Bibles, which a lot of folks don't like, don't want to read. But you might want to turn it to Isaiah chapter 24, and you'll kind of find out how the Lord views earth. It's kind of like a top, and it wobbles. And that wobble has been actually showing up. The Inuit have claimed for the last, 3-4 years that things have changing up north. And
yeah,
they would know
that.
because they navigate by the stars, the sun, the moon, et cetera, because they don't have a whole lot of land, how do we say, signposts. So they have to navigate by the stars, of which they're very good at it, the elders. They've lived up there all their lives. And they notified NASA, and of course NASA told them that it wasn't true. But if you follow these sunsets, sunrises, moon rises, moon sets, you're going to notice every once in a while it doesn't set where it ought. It doesn't rise where it ought, and it'll go back to normal. And this is what is known as a wobble, totally denied by science, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, go ahead, Larry. That would be my comment.
Okay. I'll just go ahead and begin to read here. And she kind of goes into some extensive, I hate to use the word prophetic, because really we have to lean back, I guess, if you're talking about Noah's and Mary Summerrain, we probably would speak more paranormal than
yes.
really prophetic. But at the same time, when you look at people, you know, we know what people said about Red Elk, and I know a lot of people called him Antichrist, et cetera, and, you know, they never had a clue that he went to a seminary and actually began a walk with Jesus Christ. They don't have a clue, but
yes.
they're easy to batter those words about. And so to not offend anybody, I'll say we'll talk about this this paranormal experience she had, which really it appears very prophetic, actually. And I don't understand why people, when you know the Bible clearly says that he would pour out his spirit on all flesh, that they don't understand that, but I suppose maybe not. But, it's kind of like Ed Dames. I know a lot of the things that Dames involved in, a lot of people claim is not the way to go, and I can't agree with everything he does. However, you know, just like Noah's, it appears what he is dealing with is very accurate.
Yes,
great degree
very
of
accurate, actually. Yep.
Yeah. And so anyway, I'll read this, and I appreciate you letting me read this on your show because, you know, there's some shows wouldn't go along with this. But anyway, here we go, and if you feel like you want to say something, just jump in there.
Okay.
And I'm going to begin reading here. It says, and this is where I actually saw what they were talking about. You remember on my White Buffalo experience, I saw the earth, and then I saw it dip to the right real fast and then back up towards where it had been again, you know, and it was a partial, and what I was shown was a partial polar shift. And so I'll begin to read this, and you can, you know, people can make up their own minds what they believe about it. She goes into some incredible detail here. And what's interesting, you know, we know of a lot of people that were literally out of the body or in the spirit body experiences will find themselves above the earth and viewing things. Well, this is the degree that they actually claim occurred to them. Though they don't say it's the Lord, they do, however, say it happened the same way that many people prophetically say it occurred to them, you know. So anyway, we're talking about Mary Summerrain and Noah's. It says, and I quote, "We drifted down. We went through the upper atmospheric clouds. The view was so clear and visible, my mouth dropped open. I couldn't take my eyes from it as the great planet slumped on its side. It wobbled, then appeared to stabilize somewhat. Says Earth Mother in great pain. She rearranging herself. I was fascinated. I had met the old woman in the fine ether of the future. Says, we going to go see. No, I said that. I followed filled with wild curiosity. I followed her above the area of the United States. I barely recognized it. Before, it was hard enough to tell where the different states were, but I was always used to looking at the line divisions on a map. Now I definitely needed her keen eye and expert narration. We surveyed the entire continent of North America. The familiar geographic shape was changing its format at a rapid rate. We watched the movements as though we were viewing it through a child's ever-changing kaleidoscope. Yet, this was no game. The Earth was no toy. This was real. Everything had tilted down to the right. Alaska was now the tip of North America. Mexico wasn't south anymore, but rather west. New York was only partially visible. On a closer inspection, we found that all of North America's east and west coast were gone. Florida appeared to be ripped entirely off the continent. The major fault lines had cracked. The San Andreas ripped through the land like some giant tearing a thin piece of paper. The torn shred drifted out into the churning ocean. The waters of the world literally swished back in one huge movement, paused, and came surging back to seek a new level of balance. This great movement washed over hundreds of islands. Hawaii was gone completely. Borneo, Sumatra, Philippines, Japan, Cuba, United Kingdom, all vanished within the blink of an eye. We closed in on the United States. It wasn't as wide anymore due to the lessening of coastal areas. The mitten state, Michigan, was covered with angry rushing waters. Upper Michigan had been torn away with the force of Lake Superior's emergency exit. All the great lake waters were forging downward. Did you want to say something, a comment?
Well, only comment I had is that's kind of what Red Elk said was going to happen. He said that he got a little more descriptive. What Red Elk said was there was going to be a gigantic earthquake under, what's the lake just above Chicago? Lake Michigan, I guess.
Hmm.
And all the waters, the land rose to the south about 800 or 900 feet. He said in a snap, in like a couple of seconds, all the waters moved to the north and took out any Canadian cities that were up there. Then the reverse happened, and that may be what she saw because. Michigan and Superior, all combined in Superior, has more water in it than all the other lakes combined, they claim, because it's so deep.
Huh.
It's part of that mid-continent rift.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, go ahead.
Anyway, he says, Upper Michigan was covered with angry rushing waters. Upper Michigan had been torn away with the force of Lake Superior's emergency exit. All the Great Lakes waters were forging downward, following the Mississippi River.
Wow.
Massive land areas on either side of the Mississippi River were flooded out of view. A great trench was being dug by the powerful force of the rushing waters. The land area, the land area below Michigan was drowned. Water was everywhere. There was no land under an imaginary line from Houston to somewhere around Raleigh, North Carolina. Most of New York, Pennsylvania, and Ohio were underwater. All of Michigan and Indiana were. The United States was now divided completely. The eastern portion was an island. Water go back down later. not always be island. No, I said that. I was relieved to hear that. That was so incredible. When the time came for these changes, it would be a long time before the survivors were able to get a true and accurate picture of the extent of damage. I looked far to my left and saw that all of the coastal land west of the Sierra Nevadas was gone. A large portion of the Appalachian range split and spread out. The Great Divide appeared to be fairly untouched. Volcanoes spewed in much of the western section of the land. You know, that goes along with Stan Deo's dream vision experience, you know, where he had it. He said all those volcanoes begin to go off at about the same time, you know, on the west
same
coast.
Same time, yep.
And
yep.
That region. Noah, I said, we're going to go closer. This is close enough. I didn't want to see the people. Summer remembers dream, huh? So apparently there was a dream involved. I hadn't read the whole book, so I guess there's a dream involved, too. I nodded. Summer need to see. We go now. I reluctantly followed her beautiful spirit. The view of the earth grew large as if we were watching it through a telescoping lens. We descended directly above Omaha, Nebraska. I felt as if I was watching some horror movie conceived in the mind of evil. Horrible scenes were graphically played out in vivid detail. The city was in ruin. Evidently, a strong tremor swept through that city. The tall buildings were left in their nakedness of iron skeletons. Concrete and glass lay scattered about in huge piles of rubble. People ran amok, screaming in hysterics. Gore was everywhere. Crushed and mutilated bodies lay in agony over the dead. Fires burned like torches from the gas lines. Hot electrical wires lay sparking. Total chaos. We drifted out into the suburbs. The scenes here were less massive in destruction, but they were typical of the larger city. The low buildings were leveled, and the ones still standing were being attacked by hordes of mindless people. They swarmed in every store that had any kind of food. They trampled each other, caring little for the injuries they were inflicting upon the humans underneath their feet. I couldn't believe that civilized mankind could so quickly be reduced to such animal instincts of survival. They were down to the basest of actions. They were shooting one another. They were in throngs, some just roaming about, some storming private homes in an effort to get whatever they could find. The owners were shooting into the crowds. They were desperately trying to defend their domain. Animals ran wild. The zoo had been affected by the quake, and cages were twisted and loosening wires and gates. The wild creatures were confused with their sudden freedom. Lions and cougars mauled screaming people. Elephants stampeded in herds, trying to remain together. Reptiles on the streets. I felt sick. I had the presence of mind to think of the cabin. She had a cabin, I guess. Let's see here. She's trying to get out of her ears the sound still vibrating of the roar and the screams of the people and all that, and the horrible destruction that she saw. It's kind of interesting here, too. There's a note. She asked No Eyes, Mary Summerrain did. She says, why couldn't America be like a place like Switzerland? Did you know that they're prepared for all kind of contingencies or situations? And, No Eyes see that just now. It's too bad we aren't. Yep, it's too bad. And she laughed. She said, No Eyes, about a year ago, she was talking about it in Colorado. There were some people trying to begin to get some kind of prevention and preparation in gear, and she said nobody followed it. But anyway, what she saw was pretty wild. And then a little later, further down, she's talking and to No Eyes and discussing what they've just seen. And anyway, said stuff going to come before that even. War? Yep. Oh, great, as if I didn't have enough to worry about. What war? Big one over World War III. And I won't go on and read any further, but I was shocked when I found all this spirit. I didn't know that no eyes had really, but that sounded so much, absolutely so much of that white buffalo vision that I experienced to what I saw. I mean, it very, very close, very close, a partial pole.
Yeah. And, you know, what's interesting to me is they've just been coming out with a few scientific articles within the last year about that new mid-continent rift. You said it. The water travels down the Mississippi River Valley. Well, that goes right down through Minneapolis, St. Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Goes down through Omaha. Goes down through and then swings back east a little bit. The rift does, from what I can gather, from what drawings I've seen, and it's only like 200 miles away from the New Madrid fault line.
Mm-hmm.
So when she says things being carved out, I bet you that's that fault line opening up, that rift opening up, kind of like what you saw down there in that vision you saw where it opened up and you couldn't even see the bottom of it. It was so deep.
That's right. That's right. And two, you know, we've recently begun to see satellite data and seismic data coming off of the San Andreas, you know, outside in the offshore, off of California's coast, where it's rising and lowering under the ocean. And people are, you know, they're not even aware. Most of them are not even aware. And you know, this is being posted now. So a lot of the data that would go along with what she's talking about, the signs or the precursors or whatever, we're already seeing them.
Yeah, particularly what Putin has had to say about things and war. I don't know if you saw that. I'm sure you did, though, about his warning to the West and how he actually worded it. I mean, boy, that's fascinating. Scary, though. But this is, you know, you've been a police officer for years. Domestics are one of the worst, right, as a police officer?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And why is that?
Well, the domestics are the worst because of the emotion. And, you know, you and I on some interviews years ago, you know, we talked about dealing with, rather than reasoning, and why you couldn't reason with people is because of emotion. Because, you know, I've noted through 35 years of dealing with people that are in high emotion, that when the emotion is operating in the individual, there is no reasoning to be had. It does not exist to them. And we're seeing this play out today. I've watched some interviews the last few days of some of the Black Lives Matter and others, and even people that are not, they're just regular citizens. They've had on, I guess you could say, panels, just panels of discussion of what's going on. They can't even talk anymore. They won't even let one person finish a sentence. They're screaming and yelling, and you're seeing this emotion play out in such a level that there's reason has fled. Maybe reason has just run down the street screaming, hunting somewhere to hide with wisdom. I don't know.
Good way to put it. Well, I think, you know, and that was the point I wanted to get at to everybody out there. When these things really begin to happen, reason will most likely begin to leave, and you're going to be dealing with people with raw emotion, particularly emotional people, because that's how they operate. They operate on their emotions. They don't operate factual data, maybe? Is that the way to call it?
Very true. You know, and the chaos and, I guess you could say, inhumanity that occurs in an event like this, that's probably extremely true, because people, you know, literally go out of their minds. You know, when she reflected it but towards animal instincts, that's probably a basic level that humanity drops to immediately. And you know, and that's where I say that people literally kill people when they even don't have to, but they just do it. They're all emotionally wired up, and they ain't got nowhere to go with it. And they can't think, and it's a spirit that's one of the most dangerous situations. And I'll tell you what, you know, I know this country now is moving towards, men with men and women with women, you know, the marriages and such. But do you know that when you talk about domestic violence, generally we were talking years ago of a man and a woman fighting, and those have a level of violence on their own. But when you deal with two men or two women that are lovers, you have never seen the violence at a level that they can project. And not only that, I've done a lot of reading and research on FBI and serial killer crimes and people that, but the most violent crimes are between same-sex marriages or same-sex couples, you know, that when one of them gets mad or cheats, oh, my God, I mean, the blood flows. I mean, it is violent, violent. That's where you have stabbings like, you know, 20 and 30 times they stab somebody. They cut them to pieces. They hack up their bodies. I mean, I hate to be that graphic, but, you know, and we're seeing, we're being set up for that even because it's incredible violence. And I know that you're probably not on any television channel you turn on today. You'll hear any of that. That's so politically incorrect. I'm surprised, Stuart, I'm able to speak it. But it's real.
Yeah, no. This is what people, I don't think, understand. We have lived in a society that, well, you as a police officer would see the dark side, but for the average person, they don't see the dark side. They read about it. They might watch something on TV. You're right in the middle of it. And I don't think they realize that when this starts to happen and the reason goes out, it's going to spill out and be everywhere. And,
absolutely.
You know, there. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to mention, people that, you know, I had to actually every day go out and live in this. I mean, walk in these places where you see this and deal with it every day. And, you know, I can't tell you the dead bodies I've had to go look at and begin homicide investigations and such on them. And you know, that's what I did. But the everyday citizen that never sees this, they want to somehow think that any kind of violence or degree of troubles like that has to come from a horrific Stephen King novel, right? That kind of evil,
yes.
it don't even exist. That's fiction. That's Stephen King writing a horror movie. But seriously, no, it's not. It's out there every day. Don't walk where I walk or walk where others have. And, you know, that's why, I have such empathy. I feel, you know, really feel for the police officers that's out there today in the middle of all this mixmaster kind of stuff that they're having to put up with in their faces and their lives on the line. And people don't seem to even care. And, you know, one thing that, you know, I mentioned the other day, you know, I was talking about this thin blue line.
Yes,
you know, civilization has no idea how thin that line is. And that line, Stuart, under Obama has already been seriously broken.
Well, of course, he's probably the most lawless, along with the, the Attorney General's office. They appear to be so politically orientated, they might as well be totally lawless. And I think we proved it with this deal with Hillary Clinton. And I wanted to mention something, too, about the... It seems like there's a body count rising here. There was a fellow, he was a president of the United Nations. I can't think of his name. And he was murdered. His throat was crushed, they said. And he was going to testify against Hillary Clinton. And then we just had another one came. I'm sure you saw that one. I can't remember the kid's name. He was only 27 years old.
Yeah.
And he was investigating something to do with the Clintons, right?
Well, Spirit, you know, what people don't know, you know, I was born and raised down here, you know, Texas, Northeast Texas, Southeast Oklahoma, and Mena, Arkansas area. So I became aware of the Clintons years ago. And, you know, then there all of a sudden, you know, there began to be, of course, there was the MENA connection, which everybody said, well, it couldn't be. There's nothing to that. And then you start finding all these people laying down and being run over by trains on railroad tracks in that region. And people say, oh, that's, you know, nothing to, you know, that's probably somebody making something up. But, you know, I tell you what, there were some that came out, and even some of those, I think, actually wound up a body count, were those that were warning. And they were warning about the Clintons way before they ran for, that Bill Clinton ran for president the first time. And never, and you know, I remember some of those things, and some of them made a deal called the Clinton Chronicles that would just blow your mind, the background mm-hmm. on that stuff. And the body counts and the lies, and you know, this all we're seeing today is not new. This is old stuff. This has been going on for years with those same people. And yes. You know what? I think about how they came out and they were warning people, said if this kind of corruption can operate on this level in the capital of Arkansas in Little Rock, what would happen if they were given the presidency? And now, not only have we seen that happen, we're seeing it occur again like a bad movie. Here we are again, and it's not. And people come out and they look at Benghazi, they look at you know, all the lies and the subterfuge and the body count still being clicking on down the road. And Stuart, I don't think the earlier ones that were warning had any clue that they would be running for that office the second time.
Yeah. Well, and then we have Judge Scalia. What happened to him? I mean,
yeah, we saw that,
and we got
and
this
we
kid.
Even, yeah, got yeah, and you know what's interesting, Stuart, is, and I know some people don't believe in the Torah codes, but I don't know how to account for some of the terminology and the wording they find in the Torah codes, that all of the events, even this. So I want to read this one real quick here.
Yeah.
Barry Rothman does Torah codes, you know, and this Micah Johnson, the cop killer, that's what he termed, he titled a Torah code he just ran on July the 9th, you know. And let me read the wording, and this is Hebrew words translated into English, the English words I'm going to read you, that Barry Rothman gleaned from the Torah codes. And number one, Micah Johnson, there's the guy's name that did it. There's the guy's name
yep.
in the Torah code written before he was ever born, you know? And number two, shooter. Number three, the killer who takes a life. Number four, all who go out to war. Number five, terrorism. And so the Torah codes is talking about the shooter and talking by his own name. The shooter's own name, cop killer, and it talks about the one that's taken lives. And it, but it also, it, that sounds a little prophetic. All who go out to war, is this going to open up a can of worms called a civil war in the nation? Is this just the beginning? And then it linked terrorism. So if we watch the Torah code closely, of course, I know we look backwards on the Torah codes to know the questions to ask because mm-hmm. we don't have a clue before it. But, you know, this is what's interesting, Stuart. I talked to Augusto Perez the day before this shooting happened. He had just got back from a trip to Ecuador, and he'd been in a lot of prayer. And he came home, and he said, I had a burden that I couldn't stand. He said it was just tearing me up. This is the day before the shooting. This is July the 4th. And he said that he all of a sudden, he said, I was trying to pray through over that incredible burden, and he said, I've never had one that bad in my whole life. And he said, when I finally felt like I was feeling that burden lifting, I had a vision. Now, remember, this is before the shooting occurred. He said, in this vision, I saw the United States, and I saw a great sword being thrust into the midsection of the United States, and he said, I saw blood pour out of that wound around that sword. And then immediately thereafter, Dallas, Texas, and there then we've got it in the Torah code. All this links together, all the prophetic, all the warnings, And I go back to even, you know, No Eyes and Red Elk and, you know, all you know, Ed Dames, you know, all of this stuff seems to, if you connect all of these dots, they seem to be carrying a message, and a message to all of us that would look at it and listen. And it's warnings. It's warnings over and over and over. And, but we're not connecting enough dots to really understand. But I find that so fascinating, Stuart, that all of that seems to be coming at the same time. But now it seems to be more rapid, you know?
Well, we had up here in Minneapolis, St. Paul area, they shut down I-94, Black Lives protests. And then today or yesterday, they shut down I-35. Those are two major throughways here. And a lot of police officers were actually hurt in the 94 one. I haven't heard what happened, but they shut down traffic for 2-3 hours on a major highway, a major throughway.
Yeah.
So they really don't care who they inconvenience or anything else. They're out for blood, so to speak. But it is interesting that the code for war, you're right, probably this is the beginning of the attempt by the communists, and this is all this is, really. It's a communist, Marxist, socialist attempt to throw America over. It's a coup. And, of course, you got Obama at the head of it. And so it's going to get very, very interesting as more time goes on as to what they do and don't do. But, you know, we've had those visions, too, about when America goes into kind of a civil war or ruler against ruler, authority against authority, however you want to word it or how it works, I don't know, that the our enemies see us and decide to pounce.
That's right.
Now, I want to read to you something Vladimir Putin's talk about World War III, because No Eyes mentioned World War III and said it was global. So I want everybody to really listen carefully to how he worded it. Perhaps the most chilling statement from Vladimir Putin came at the conclusion of the St. Petersburg International Economic Forum on June 17th, where the Russian leader took foreign journalists to task for spreading U.S. propaganda and ignoring the march towards nuclear war. "We know year by year," he said, "what's going to happen. And they know that we know. It's only you that they tell tall tales to," talk about the media. "You buy it, and you spread it to the citizens of your countries. You people, in turn, do not feel a sense of the impending danger. This is what worries me. How do you not understand that the world is being pulled in an irreversible direction while they pretend that nothing is going on? I don't know how to get through to you anymore." I want you to focus in on that. How do you not understand that the world is being pulled in an irreversible direction? What's he telling us, Larry? I think he's telling us they know World War III is just around the corner.
Well, not only that, Stuart, we're not ready, and they're getting ready for it. They're preparing, and I think that will link in. You know, we just found out, there was news came out yesterday, or last night and today, they've just now exposed the United States State Department under the Obama administration of using taxpayer money that was paid into groups in Israel to try to oust Benjamin Netanyahu out of the office as Prime Minister of Israel. That's also a coup. That's, Stuart, that's shocking. That's absolutely shocking. And this has finally come out. We knew that this was going on behind the scenes, and we reported it, you know, some time back, but it's now official. They've cracked the money. They know where it came from. And it was, you know, all these games are being played. And then we wonder, and of course, you know, the last 7.5 years or more, or about that, under Obama, has been the most anti-Israel government this nation has ever seen, you know? And now we're wondering, and, you know, you asked me the other time, what in the world is going on, you know, between Netanyahu and Putin? And, well, there's changes. Changes are being made. And you know, it's almost like, how do you tell the American people, you're so dumb. You're so dumb. You watched for almost 8 years Obama try to squash Israel and put every enemy and arm and put every enemy around Israel against Israel. And Israel, through the last 7.5 years, has suffered some of the worst terrorism they've ever experienced as a nation. And guess who's been behind it? You know, it's not even, you know, but the American people, we're allies. You know, who needs friends like that, you know? I mean, seriously.
Well, when
friends
you
like
send
that get
the...
killed.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to mention that, you know, and then we act like, as a nation, we act like we don't have a clue why Netanyahu is dealing now with Putin, why there's Russian and Israeli deals, why that the Russian military and the Israeli military are working together so close. Now, here's another thing, Stuart, that's going on over in the Middle East. I know we hadn't really gone there, but
what's
very interesting is the fact that there's now reports have just come out of Debco file, and, of course, that's intelligence reports, you know, what I'm telling. You're not going to see it. You know, I don't care what channel you're clicking on television. You won't hear it. But Israeli tanks and bulldozers have crossed into Syria, and they're now on the Syrian side of the Golan Heights in Syrian territory that is covered by Russia, you know, for defense as a mandate. However, Russia's standing by, out of the way, and there's a lot of interesting collaboration going on because, you know, the Obama administration backs Iran, Israel's mortal enemy. And right now there's reports coming out that the Iranians, Syrians, and the Hezbollah groups have chemical weapons, in other words, weapons of mass destruction, in that area of the Syrian Golan, the Quneira area, and all of that, and they're ready for the word from Iran to begin their attacks on Israel, a gas attack, a chemical attack on Israel, along with missile attacks. And so here we've got, without even, of course, the West, we never told anything anyway, but the Israeli tanks have already crossed over into Syria. Now, nobody knows that. And why they don't, I don't know. I mean, it's not like it's a great secret. You know, it's out there in the intelligence that's going on. But what we're seeing some movements by Russia. And this goes back to what you just said. Putin is a chess player, one of the greatest. And, you know, he is playing. And he's not playing a game, though. This thing he's talking about, this warning he gave, he's very serious, and you know well as I do that the leader of China has the same seriousness. And, you know, the way that it works is with these world powers, if you can get somebody in a weakened condition, you hit them then because you don't want them to get stronger again and come back after you. So we're being set up. The American people, this nation is being set up by its own leadership. Now, some call that treason. I don't know what they call it today, probably political correctness, but we're being set up, and we are really moving quickly towards World War III. Of course, a lot, like you say, a lot of prophecies.
Yes. Well, what's interesting to me was the way he worded it, that it's like a foredrawn conclusion, like Psalm 2. Or we could say maybe he knows Isaiah. My hand is stretched out upon the nations. I have an agenda. I have a plan, and I'm going to do it, and nobody's going to stop me. It's kind of like they are. It's like fate. They can't stop it now. How are they going to stop it? So they take the whole world down with them. And here we have the destroyer inbound. There's more and more pictures of some weird things out there. And we have the gravitational wave coming. We heard about the insider who said they've actually seen it. I think they're preparing for it. Myself, I was reading the Book of the Colburn, and one of the things they talk about in there is this star that they see. And it's weird because we're finding information that LaViolette had talked about for years and years, and now we're finding these articles written about it. So what we've got is we've got the destroyer inbound, we've got the gravitational wave coming in on a convergence model, which is probably why in the book of Daniel and the Lord himself, I think somewhere in the New Testament, maybe Luke, I can't remember exactly where he says that there's a time of trouble not ever seen on the earth before. So, you know,
Go
ahead.
Just to add right there where you were talking about the gravitational waves, I don't know if you saw my post the other day, but there's a post from a photograph from NOAA Space Weather that showed what they called gravitational waves in our atmosphere. Did you see that by chance? It was blue in color?
Yes, I did see that.
Okay, they labeled it, Stuart, gravitational waves. They said what it was. Now, what it exists of is gravity, that's coming in. It's gravity that's in movement in our atmosphere that's invisible. However, the reason this is visible is because we've had a phenomenon lately called noctilucent clouds. They call it
yes.
That. And these clouds are clouds that are almost on the edge of space. They're really a phenomena. They're really a cosmic phenomena, basically, for our planet. And these clouds now, though, when I read this article and got this photograph and posted it, they have come down in the atmosphere. Their gravity is involved. And these clouds in that shape that you saw in that photograph, Stuart, they said the gravitational waves, these were gravitational waves visible in the lower atmosphere and photographed that we'd never seen before. And boy, I thought of immediately was that gravitational wave that you talked about, the big one that's coming that changes so many things. And there we have, it's almost like some of this is warning signs, you know, just like that photograph. That's a warning sign if you know where to put it, if you know where to apply it.
Yeah, it's kind of a clue, a future clue. Look what's coming, folks. You know, the only thing you'd have to add to that picture would be a blue star, a very bright blue star. That's what the human race is going to see, and I think they're going to see it in a fairly, close future. I don't think there's any question. We've already got the pictures of activity at the core of the Milky Way, and it's really active. In fact, it threw out a huge star that is leaving the Milky Way at a very rapid rate, and scientists are scratching their heads. They've never seen anything like that before. And as we have tried to point out numerous times, all the Lord has to do is tweak the laws of physics, and the whole thing is thrown out, and they're really going to be scratching their heads. What in the world is happening? They're not going to know, because they rejected the only book that gave them the truth. And people just don't want to read it, I guess.
Well, I was thinking, too, at the same time, you know, back when we were talking about the pole shift or the partial pole shift or in other words, the Earth slumps and then tries to get back
yes.
up and rearrange itself. What we do know, what we are aware of is really, is, as you brought out biblically, talking about Earth being like a top that was kind of wobbly, though. It kind of wobbled.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting is I've read some data and some research on the moon. And it says that the moon is in a perfect place. It couldn't be in a more perfect place because it's actually the distance from the sun that at times that it can actually give a total eclipse of the. In other words, where the moon sets and the size the moon is will totally eclipse the sun itself on the Earth, you know.
Yeah, well, that could never happen except by design.
Exactly. And then at the same time, they're reporting that the moon has great influence over this, not only the spin of the Earth, but the wobble of the Earth. It is a stabilizing force is what I read when I researched that.
Yes,
and then when
yes.
you go back again, I believe into Isaiah, I believe, you know, it talks about the moon doesn't keep its course.
Yes.
These are all clues. This tells us why things are not going to remain constant. So we know that prophetically, according to the Bible, according, you know, when you've got a destroyer and its entourage out there moving through the solar system, and you have a gravitational wave coming, you know, through and all this kind of thing, that can certainly disrupt planets and their moons, you know. And
you could see how easily
this could all, you know, we could have a slump of the Earth in space and has to re-equibulate itself, so to speak. You know, this isn't as far-fetched. You know, I know people think we're talking science fiction, and there has been movies of these scenarios we're talking about, but it wouldn't be that hard with what we're talking is going on around us to do this, to accomplish this, this whatever it is.
Yeah, Red Elk even, he called it an Earth flip. That's what he called it. He said, the Earth just flips. That's what Isaiah says. The Earth turneth upside down, scatters or abroad the inhabitants thereof. It wobbles like a drunk, and then it reorientates itself. Albert Einstein even said that and we're watching that happen in the Antarctic and the polar regions where the ice is not, it's getting to a point of imbalance where parts of Antarctica, for example, are melting, whereas ice is building on another section. Well, that throws off your polar balance. And if it goes far enough, Albert Einstein claimed it will. The Earth will just suddenly, all of a sudden, flip. And then it'll reorientate itself. And I can remember when I was talking with Art on the Art Bell Show, we were talking about the woolly mammoth and, you know, instant freeze and, you know, the vegetation in their mouth. And I know most people just laugh at that, but have they not found under the Antarctic ice a whole forest?
Oh,
absolutely. If I remember right?
Yeah.
So how do they explain that?
Antarctica. Yeah, in Antarctica, they have found that. And it's all there. I mean, it looks like it was just instantly frozen, you know.
Well, there is so much to talk about, so little time to talk about it. we got an email from somebody who said we should talk about the Mandela effect. We have brought it up before. But this lady says, this is kind of interesting, because she had memorized many verses in the King James Bible, absolutely memorized them, she says. But then they were all different. Now, I don't know. How do you explain that? That has been my one question. How do so many thousands and thousands of people misremember the scriptures? I've never heard a good answer.
You know, after we did that, you know, we did an original show where we brought up you brought up the Mandela effect, and we was doing that with Daniel Holdings, and you know, we shared a little bit, and then since then, you've even found more data that links into that, including movie data and right in our face kind of warning data, and I've got emails, Stuart. You know, since that occurred, I've got emails from people, pastor in the Philippines, and I can't even think of the number of people has emailed me and said that they also have experienced this same situation, this same effect, Mandela or whatever you want to call it, that things are not normal, something has changed, they know it has, they don't understand it, but they see the clues. And, you know, Stuart, something has gone on. Something has occurred. You know, we know that CERN has been operating way above what they had planned to do. I mean, they've gone way beyond.
Oh, way. Yes, way above.
Matter of fact, this is an article that came out in Skywatch the other day. It said physicists weigh in on the dimensional doorways warning that CERN Stargate, called the Awake Experiments, really could open destructive demonic portals as described in Tom Horn's book on the Path of the Immortals. And it goes on to talk about things that they're trying to open out there, not only portals on the Earth, but portals in space, out in space itself. And, Stuart, the gravity waves are the black holes out there, and those things, we're having all types of energy, and I can't tell you, Stuart, how many people have emailed me, not only is the sun and the moon and all of this seemed off, where they come up, where they go down, times are not the same as they are to be anymore, the sunset and sunrise are different than what it's supposed to be, and at the same time, people are telling me over the last year, they've been seeing lots of strange flashes of light or something gets their attention. There's flashes of light, and they cannot explain it. And, all of this is ongoing. And so, for people that says there is no Mandela effect, that's just a made-up hoax. That's just a hoax. Well, it still does not erase the clues and the data and the people's feelings and the understanding of people, And
yes.
Then what's really interesting, and I won't be long because I know we're running out of time, but that woman that wrote you, she memorized all these verses. So when something changes and she looks back in that memory and she says, uh-oh, something's not right, you got to listen to people like that, because you and I both know the Holy Spirit knows the truth in the interpretation of the scriptures and how those scriptures were worded when they were written. And if any changes, people that have the Holy Spirit would know or really discern something's wrong. They might not be able to put their finger on it, but they know something's wrong. And so we've had some kind of change. And you've said yourself, I think they'll try to do something with space-time, or something will happen to space-time.
Yes, I'm certain of it. And did you see that picture over CERN, that bluish thunder cloud, whatever it was?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that was when they were operating at very, very high power. I don't know if that's the same time that scientist vanished or not, and I give credence to the fact that scientist vanished, because I heard another story from a direct operator, and they had that same kind of thing happen out there at Los Alamos, he said. They hush-hush all this stuff up. You'll never hear about it on the news. But there's so much bizarre stuff going on in the world today. How about UFO sightings? They're still on the increase, are they not?
Oh, my Lord. They're off the scale. I'm watching Richard Shaw keeps up with a lot of that, and they're working on their Watcher series. But South America is just off the scale. Europe's off the scale. Russia, I mean, lots of it. Over in the Middle East, they're having sightings. The ones over America, it's every day. I mean, when you follow it a little bit, it's every single day. A lot of the stuff involves our atmosphere and entering space in that area, and the International Space Station, and it's continuous, Stuart. It's just almost a continuous, nonstop flow of sightings.
Yeah, so that would mean to me that the spiritual wars are heating up, and the battle for Earth is, of course, it's been going on for souls for a long, long time, but I'm talking about the real turf war battles are going to start now. And, of course, the demons, they love to stir up mankind and let them destroy themselves. And I think maybe that's what Vladimir Putin was saying. We're going into World War III, and there's no way we can stop it. And didn't Obama make a comment similar?
I can't remember. I seem like Obama he's more on cautioning people that were not headed that way, but I don't really trust him. But listen, there's some old data that I've read about Vladimir Putin, and he does have a religious background, a church background in his youth and early days. So he may know some of these scriptures, and, as good a chess player as he is, he's probably not leaving that equation out.
I would think, and Netanyahu knows his Bible too, I hear, pretty
absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely, yeah.
So these guys, they know about Psalm 2, and like you say, I think they're wild cards. They may not play the game all the way through. They may rebel. Anyway, I thank you again for coming on. Been a very interesting show. There's so much more we should have talked about and didn't. But would you be available at all Friday, maybe? I'll
sure.
call you offline and we can talk about it. All righty.
Okay.
Well, everybody, I hope you took Vladimir Putin's warning to heart. Good night.